Unknown 9 Awakening is the action-adventure video game at the heart of the Unknown 9 narrative universe.
Plays her an audacious heroine with the ability to venture into the fold of a mysterious dimension that overlaps our own.
On her quest for powerful hidden knowledge, Haruna, who is portrayed by Anya Chalotra, will learn to master her unique connection to the fold, which allows her to channel its powers into our world, but such power does not go unnoticed.
She quickly becomes a target of the Ascendants, a splinter faction of the secret society known as the Leap Year Society, who want to use the fold to alter the course of human history.
Their confrontation will take them across the word from sands of Mauritania and perilous Indian jungles to the gothic landscapes of Portugal.
Get ready to dive into a mysterious parallel dimension. Unknown 9 Awakening releases on October 18, 2024 for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC.
Pre-order your copy today and learn more about the Unknown 9 universe at unknown9.com/3TG. That's unknown9.com/3TG.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Terrible Gamers. I'm your host, Colin, here with Ashton.
Hey guys.
I got a few left over from last week and got a new slate for you guys, so we're going to go ahead and get into them. Call of Duty Warzone finally confirms when Vendordask is coming back.
Alright. Yeah, it was confirmed at the latest Call of Duty Next event that Verdansk is coming back to Call of Duty Warzone in spring 2025. This matches up with previous leaks and rumors about Verdansk's return, but this is the first official confirmation that it's coming back to Battle Royale. Additional details on what to expect from the returning Verdansk are not available at this time of writing, but more information should come to light in the months ahead. Verdansk was filled with many iconic points of interest, with Call of Duty Warzone fans having fond memories of dropping on the hospital roof to fight for supplies or sniping at far-off enemies from the airport. Presumably, the returning Verdansk will have these memorable locations intact, but again, more details will come at a later date. So I've been waiting years for this. It did come back to Call of Duty Mobile, and I played it a lot on there, so I prestiged twice actually playing it on there. When it first dropped, but I haven't played in a couple months. But I'm happy it's coming back to actual Warzone, because just be a better time actually playing it on, you know.
Now, what, spring of 2025 is what I've seen on my article,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It doesn't have an actual day yet, but it just says spring 2025.
Yeah. So, basically right around the corner.
Yeah, definitely happy. This is the... I just can't get into the newer Warzone maps. I try... to play them, and I don't like them.
Haven't got into Warzone in 4 years.
Yeah, Verdansk, just, I remember us and, you know, other people that would play with us, we just drop in and we just completely wipe the floor with everybody. We, especially Plunder, like, we would just do so good.
Oh yeah, especially we kind of one up the ante with all that stuff, because we would all get together in one house and
yeah,
yeah, in the same room.
Have four TVs together, just three or four TVs. Good times.
Yeah,
we done that with 2K too. When that, what was it, 2K21 came out, your bachelor party or something like that, and we
so it would have been sooner than that, because it would have been 19.
Maybe it's 2020. With I think it had Anthony Davis on the cover.
Yeah, I've been 2K20 because I would have got married in 2019. So yeah.
Yeah, 21 had Damian Lillard on it. 20 had Anthony Davis.
So it was 2K20.
Yeah. Yeah, we was in your living room playing 2K all night long.
It's definitely fun, because I think it just came out too.
It did. It released that day, I think.
Yeah. The irony of the situation, because what, 2K came out yesterday at time of recording? Well, yeah. If you didn't have early tip off.
Yeah, if you didn't have early tip off, yeah, it officially released yesterday.
At time of recording?
Yeah. September 6th was yesterday. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about literally 5 years to the date, basically.
It's crazy. It's crazy it's been that long. Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, it's been there for 5 years. That's even longer.
Yeah. We just celebrated our sixth a couple months ago. So that's crazy.
Longer than me.
A little bit.
On to the next one. Nintendo runs out of replacement parts for the 3DS and it ends repairs in Japan.
Yeah, so definitely an end of an era. So Japan was the last, you know, one standing with 3DS repairs because obviously, you know, they have the headquarters and stuff in Japan. So that's where they do the repairs and stuff. But it says in a new X/Twitter post shared to the Japanese Nintendo account, which has been machine translated, the company announced that repair services for the new Nintendo 3DS have now ended due to lack of parts required to maintain the handheld console. Earlier this year, Nintendo announced that when replacement parts for the Nintendo 2DS, Nintendo 2DS XL, and the new Nintendo 3DS were gone, its repair services would end. Like I said, end of an era. We knew it was going to happen because, you know, they announced it before, but and then the Wii U and the 3DS online stores shut down earlier this year as well. I think back in March, maybe. But, yeah, ended an era. The great console, 3DS. I played a lot of it. A lot of games on there. Very good console.
Yeah.
A lot of good console quality games on a handheld.
Yeah. Because they every bit matched Smash Brothers that came out on the Wii U.
Definitely. Yeah, they came out the same time. I think even the same day. And then, they could even, intertwine with each other some. And, it was a good experience on handheld for Smash.
Yeah. But it said, new 3DS and 3DS XL models. So, I don't know what they meant by new. Unless in Japan they had, they lasted longer than what they did here.
Well, there was two different models. They had the regular 3DS and the regular 2DS, and then later on they came out with the XL. Not the XL, it's just new 3DS, new 2DS,
Switch and Switch
Pro, 3 and Pro, or, oh, yeah, 3DS Pro and 2DS Pro, pretty much. It was a little bit more powerful, and it also came with a little nub they used as a C-stick.
Gotcha.
And it also had
The 2DS I had where it had the little nub as a C-stick.
Yeah. And then I think it also had extra buttons on the back. I think instead of just ZL and ZR, it had littler buttons too, extra buttons. Some games would require only the new 3DS or 2DS. Yeah, end of an era. Sucks because it's such a good console, but I mean, the Switch has been out almost 8 years, so
yeah,
definitely coming. I figured it would have came. This day would have came definitely a lot longer.
Yeah, you definitely would think so, which, I mean, I guess technically to an extent, though, too, is they shut down the online servers for those systems anyway, so it was only matter of time before they shut down repairs for the system as well.
Yeah, repairs for the Wii U, I believe they're already done. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure they're already done. Which it was more of a flop, obviously, than the 3DS was. 3DS was actually decently successful. Not as successful as the regular DS, but it's still definitely successful compared to the Wii U.
Tell you what, I think it was second place compared to the regular DS. I believe so. It was right next to, it was behind on the ranking, I'm pretty sure.
I thought the Wii was.
I meant handheld.
Oh, handheld, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, and then Game Boy.
I group handhelds, Nintendo consoles, and, you know, Nintendo home consoles as two different things. Minus the Switch, obviously, because it wants to do both.
Right, can't decide what it wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends if you have the Switch that attaches to your TV or the Switch Lite at this point.
That's true.
It is handheld.
I know some people only want to play handheld, but personally, if you're going to buy the regular Switch, that you have that choice.
Yeah.
if you ever changed your mind.
I think people go for the light for the cheaper
option. Yeah, they do. And it's good for kids, you know, like a cheaper option for kids.
For a first console.
Yeah. Like Chase, my little brother, he got it. That was his first console, was a Switch Lite. And so it's good for kids to...
Yeah. Our first console was a little bit more sturdy since, you know, it was a gigantic box.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of hard to hurt it.
Yeah. You can drop it and everything else, it'd be fine for the most part.
Clamshell design was definitely superior to protect things.
Oh, yeah. Instead of, like, basically a oversized phone.
Yeah, yeah. A tablet with tablet with controllers.
Yeah.
Glued to the side of it, pretty much.
Same setup anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, which that's a potentially a later topic too.
Yeah.
Try not to do what we done a couple weeks ago and lead you guys on with the topics.
That's right.
Black Myth Wukong rating.
Oh, did you skip one?
Did I skip one? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I did. My bad. I do see it right here. Legend of Zelda animated series is getting re-released on DVD. There you go.
Hey, I was gonna say, don't rip me off on this. All right. Hello. All right. The Legend of Zelda's live action movie adaptation isn't releasing anytime soon, but at least the cartoon series is being reprinted on DVD. It says, yes, we were surprised to stumble upon this too, but the complete 13-episode run will be available on a shiny, unscratched disc on October 22nd. You can pre-order the Legend of Zelda complete series on DVD for only $13.59 at Amazon. The Legend of Zelda is one of Nintendo's biggest and most successful properties. At least there's a cartoon series to check out. Back in 1989, animated adventures featuring Link and Princess Zelda were broadcast on the Super Mario Bros. Super Show, day off each week, and they've all been collected for a DVD release. It's available to pre-order at Amazon for $13.59, and it'll be released on October 22nd. So, I don't know if you've seen any of these or not.
The show itself?
Yeah.
No. So I didn't get into but Zelda in any sort until 2017.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Breath of the Wild was your first.
Yeah.
But, so I watched a lot of Super Mario Bros. Super Show on DVD when I was younger. And then it was every episode had an episode of The Legend of Zelda kind of in the middle of it. Just, it was pretty cool. But I've never seen all of them. So, and I seen this, I was like, that's really cool that they're releasing a DVD in 2024. Like, I know you can still buy DVDs, but like even Redbox is going bankrupt, like, you know, so.
Streaming is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you can stream this show on like, I know on the Roku Smart TVs, it has an app. I can't remember what it's called, but you can stream like all the Mario shows, all the Sonic shows, The Legend of Zelda and everything on there. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure they're way with that on YouTube too, for the most part. I don't think they care that far back to copyright that.
1989, I doubt it. It was a while ago.
I've seen snippets of the show. I've never watched a whole episode of it.
They're just short little episodes, but they're really good for what they are. I mean, it's worth watching, like, if you like Zelda, I guess. I mean, they're not canon or anything, but they're just cool little adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that and... You can get away with a lot more in 1989 than what you can in today's time, though, too. Oh,
definitely.
So
definitely.
I definitely don't think there's a few things in there that's probably aged well.
Nah. That's just with any old cartoon or any old show. Yeah. But you can definitely tell it's the early stages of Zelda because Link's hair's black. Like, it's not even brown or blonde or whatever, but
yeah,
it's pretty cool to look back and watch it.
You gonna buy it?
Maybe. It's only $13.
Yeah, but how many episodes were there?
13.
14?
13. So it's like a little over a dollar an episode, I guess. So it's like, it says 13.59. There's 13 episodes. So
I would just watch it on YouTube if I'm going to watch it.
Like I said, you can watch it on that streaming thing, but for collector's purposes, it's only $13. Probably even leave it sealed.
I figured they would do something like that, though, since there's a game coming out this month, and the live action is supposed to be on its way, too.
Right. I seen Zeltic's video on his demo that he played on Echoes of Wisdom. Have you watched that video?
I don't think I've seen his, no.
Yeah, the demo just looks really good. I wish I could get the demo to play, but you can't get it. You have to be invite only. So
yeah, but I think you only get like nine. I have watched a YouTuber play it. It just wasn't Zeltic, and I think you only got like an 80 minutes. I think so.
It let him get to the first dungeon and beat the first dungeon, and they kicked him off. I think that's as far into the game you can get.
Yeah.
But they let him record the footage and everything, and it looks really, really good. I'm really excited for that game. Can't wait for it to come out.
Which I believe he got early things to the Tears of the Kingdom, too.
Yeah. Well, he's a pretty good-sized YouTuber. I don't know how many subscribers he has, but I know he has quite a bit.
Well, man, you know, his channel is literally just dedicated to one thing.
Yeah, to Zelda. So he said specifically Nintendo of UK invited him.
What Nintendo does.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff, like, he'll analyze the videos and he'll see details that I'd never even think of. And it comes out to be true, like, just his opinion on what they're doing in the game or what's going to happen in the game, and it comes out to be true. Some of it's not true, but like in Tears of the Kingdom, some of the stuff was true they said, some of it wasn't. But just the details that he finds in the games to see if it is true. It's just, I can't pay attention to stuff that much. I don't know.
Did you see where they updated the encyclopedia?
Yeah. Yeah. I seen his video on that.
Yep. It's official. It's Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are basically resetting the timeline.
Pretty much. Yeah.
They're in their own timeline.
Yeah. Not part of it. Because a lot of people put it at the end of the timeline. And then it is basically like
done that.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's so far ahead of its time, like it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, pretty much merging them all into one, but basically saying that they're canon, but they're not part of the timeline.
Yeah, it's so far in the future that it's just one big timeline now, hence why Zora and Rito are in the same
together
category.
Yeah. Well, and then like Echoes of Wisdom, you have River Zora and Sea Zora in the same game, and that's never been, you've never seen Sea Zora in a 2D Zelda before.
I'd like to see if that's going to be a canon game or not, though.
Probably. I would say it's probably going to be in the Heroes Fallen timeline with the other 2D Zelda games, but
pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But he literally fell into a rift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that his video showed the mini boss fight in the dungeon. Did you see it? It's towards the end of the trailer. There's spoilers if you don't want to know, but it's, you know, we've seen it in the trailer, but it's Link. He's the mini boss for the first dungeon.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because the person I watched, they was struggling forever, and they didn't realize that you could use the shield.
Yeah.
He kept going trying to just attack without the shield.
Zeltic, the final blow was him hitting Link in the top of the head with a pot. It's funny. That was really cool. And that's where you get the sword for the sword fighters.
Yeah.
Whatever that they showed in the trailer.
Which kind of answers our question of how they're going to seal away the Ganon at the end.
Yeah, because she can handle so for a little bit, you know, to have that basically magic meter. And then you can only get the magic replenished in the still world. You can't get it in the overworld.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
You can only use the sword, I'm assuming, in the
You can use it in the overworld, you just can't replenish it in the overworld.
Gotcha.
So you gotta use it very sparingly in the overworld.
So it's basically doing like a light and dark world situation.
Pretty
like
much. Link. Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, Black Myth Wukong.
All right.
Wukong.
All right, this was a week ago. I didn't get updated ratings because I didn't want to. But a week ago today, or probably yesterday, actually, it was an 82 on Metacritic with 79 critic reviews. And that's with 60 positive, 12 mixed, 0 negative. And then the user score was a 7.8, generally favorable, based on 4,857 user ratings. And those user ratings were 3,500 positive, 506 mixed, and 816 negative. So there's actually more negative than mixed, but definitely way more positive.
It did change since you've done yours. It dropped down to an 81.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured it would change.
It's an 81 as of yesterday.
Yesterday.
So it was 6th.
And how many critic reviews do you have that?
I didn't. I'll let you do all that stuff usually.
Yeah. Well, last week it was 79. I'm sure there's more than 79 now.
I don't know if there's any other games in the series, so I didn't go backtracking to see if there was other games or not.
I think there was, but I don't think, obviously they wasn't as popular as this one, but.
I was gonna say it's mainstream.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard of any of them until now.
Right.
Because I still wouldn't have heard about it if it wasn't for you sending me the topic.
Oh, really? You didn't see that Steam was blowing up? You know, the past Pat World is the most popular concurrent game played or whatever, reached 2 million.
That the game they were talking about?
Yeah.
I seen that the game had passed it, but I didn't pay attention to what it was called.
Yeah, it was this game, Black Myth Wukong.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't free on Game Pass, so I didn't bother with it.
Yeah, it's not free. I can't even get a discount on it right now. Too new. Nope.
Too new. And another game I haven't heard of is the Emio the Smiley Man reading.
Emio.
I can't even say it right.
You never heard of this either. You didn't see the big trailer on Nintendo's thing.
Nope.
People were blowing it up because they're like, oh, Nintendo made a horror game. Like, first time ever they made a horror game. And it turns out it's a Famicom detective game or whatever. It's a series,
yeah,
I guess.
I know that it was called Famicom. So I'm assuming it was part of the, obviously, Famicom system initially.
I guess. I know it's a series of the Famicom Detective series or whatever.
But that makes sense why we wouldn't have seen it over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it is kind of like a horror game, but it's not like a 3D horror game or anything. It's just like a detective thing.
How can you scare anybody in a 2D context? Especially 8-bit.
I don't know. I don't know if this is 8-bit or if it's just continuing on that series.
I meant the initial.
Yeah, the original one. I have no idea. I mean, back in the day, I mean, I guess that's all you had. You could scare somebody. I don't know.
I couldn't imagine getting scared by something that's 8-bit.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, this too was a week ago yesterday, so it could have changed. It was a 76 with 29 positive, 12 mixed, and 0 negative. And at that time, it didn't have a user score because it was too new. So,
yeah. Still 76.
Okay.
The 6th.
Okay.
With no extra stuff. Granted, I figured out that it did have a previous thing, but they don't do ratings for anything before, I think, 1998?
Really?
Metacritic? I believe so. Maybe 96, because GoldenEye had one, but I don't know if it was the re-release or not.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew Ocarina of Time, but that was 98.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's anything pre-96. At least I haven't ran across games.
I wonder
that's
if that's
been.
When they were founded, man. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know when Metacritic started.
never thought to do a topic on it.
No.
Or dive into it, because it's not technically news, because they cover everything that's new.
Right.
It would have been news, you know, way back in the day, but everyone knows Metacritic exists.
Right.
But anyways, The Smiling Man is probably a 10 out of 10 on Nintendo Life. I didn't bother
with it. I tried to look, and I didn't see it.
It's a Nintendo game. Of course, it's going to be a 10 on 10 on Nintendo Life.
Yeah. That's funny.
Actually, I think Nintendo Life was the one that done the Echoes of Wisdom that I was talking about earlier. I think I watched Nintendo Life.
Yeah, I seen they had one too, because I'm subscribed to them too. But I like Zeltic, how he breaks down trailers and stuff. So I like watching him.
Like I said, I hadn't seen his, but thing on Nintendo Life, I was like, actually, I think it was them that was playing that game, or one of them.
Yeah, there's like, what, three or four of them? There's Alex, Felix, and one other, I think.
Which, you know, only being a couple of them, I still don't know how they do their ratings for, because obviously there's not 10 people to choose from.
Yeah, I don't know who does
the
ratings.
They just average their scores, like, out of 10.
Maybe.
Like, you and me getting together and be like, oh yeah, this game's a 10 out of 10. We both say it, so it's a 10 out of 10 for the Free Terrible Gamers podcast.
Yeah. For if you say it's a 10, I say it's an 8. If they go with 9, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or just whoever plays it. Maybe they don't all play it. Like, just one of them plays it, and then they... I think it's how IGN does theirs. Like, they just have one person that works for them do it, and then that's what the rating is.
IGN has such a big team, though. I wouldn't figure they would do something like that.
I think that's how they do it, though. Instead of just having a bunch of people play the same game, because...
Well, then you're living up to a bias, though.
Yeah.
An extreme bias.
Yeah.
At that point.
I mean, that's basically how ratings are, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are a professional critic, then I guess it makes sense, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, because a lot of games rely on, like, IGN for their Metacritic scores.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd do it. I'd be a critic, professionally.
I'll put our podcast in for an application for it. We still ain't heard back from them.
I put an application in, personally, too, and I never heard back. Stupid Metacritic.
You sign a petition for us, guys.
Yeah.
All right. On to the newest game out of this list of games we talked about. NBA 2K25 rating.
All right. This was as of yesterday, and it released yesterday, unless you got early tip-off like I did. It was a 77 with only 5 critic reviews. And that was for the PS5 version. The Xbox Series and the PC and then the last gen wasn't on there yet. Yeah. It was to be determined. So 77, generally favorable. I don't even know what 2K24 was.
68.
Really?
Yep.
So definitely increased.
I done 2K24, then I sat through and broke down the whole list of all. I wasn't going to name off all 25 games. I was not going to do that to you guys and just be rambling on forever. I done last year's, because obviously it was 2K24. I figured that'd be somewhat relevant.
Right.
And then I done the highest rated in the series.
Let me guess. It was 2K16 or 14?
Not even close.
Really?
Year-wise, you're not even close.
Was it lower?
Lot lower.
Single digit. Was it 08? Lower?
Single digit.
The first one?
2K1.
That would have been the first one.
It would have been the second one.
Oh, yeah. Because I had 2K. Yeah. 99. What was it?
It was for the Dreamcast.
What was it rated?
93.
Really?
For the Dreamcast.
93? Because
2K used to only be on Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, I knew that because it was a Sega.
Yeah.
Before 2K, or they sold it to 2K.
Even though it was still called 2K.
Yeah, 2K didn't own it then. Sega did.
It was just, you know, obviously 2001.
Yeah.
They just stuck with it since. But yeah, 2K1 is the highest with 93.
Really?
I think 2K16 because obviously, like I said, I went down for the whole list. I think it was like an 86, 87.
The next highest.
It would have been next highest from one, yes.
So, because I know a lot of people like 16, I know a lot of people like 14, so that's why I figured it was one of those, but.
Yeah. You didn't think it was going to be all the way back in the beginning.
No, because those, I mean, I'm sure they were great for that time, but I've went back and tried to emulate them, and like, it's just out, you know, outdated, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but for that really, time, they were probably really, really good and really realistic, but.
Yeah, because I don't think I got, the first one I got into, I think, was 2K9. Because I had NBA Live 09, and I had 2K9. I had them both.
I think I had Live, like, 04, but, like, the first 2K I got was 2K10. It had Kobe on the cover for PS2.
Yeah, I had it for the Wii.
I had 2K11 for the Wii. No, I had 2K11 for the PSP and 2K12 for the Wii.
I had 2K11 for the Wii. Yeah, it's definitely been a long running series. And
oh, yeah. Been part of it since 2K10. And yeah, you 2K9.
Yeah. Been with it for a while.
Put NBA Live out of business more than once.
Yeah, I think the only one I haven't played in all that time was 2K17.
I had 17.
And I still technically played it after it was already almost shut down because I believe Xbox Live had a demo of it after like 2K19 came out, and you can go back through and you can get achievements. And I went through and played a demo and got all the achievements for it.
Oh,
so
nice.
100% the demo.
Nice. I think I've played and owned every one since 2K10 to the newest one. Sometimes more than once. Like 2K14 I had for Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
You had a couple 2K21s, didn't you?
I had one for the Switch and one for the Xbox. I had 2K24 for PC and Switch. So some of them I've bought more than once. But so I have played 2K25. I've played it since the 24th. No, not the 24th. I was thinking 2K24. The fourth, which was early tip-off. My personal rating, because this is my first year with next-gen, so I do like it better, so I'll probably be a little higher. I'll probably say I'd give it an 80 instead of a 77, just a little bit higher. It's still 2K. It has your typical 2K bullcrap, but it's definitely funner than last-gen, and they've already updated to fix some of the bugs, and they updated it before it released yesterday. So I'll give them that. They're a little bit faster on fixing some bugs than they usually are. So I'll give them an 80.
I don't got a personal rating, so.
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll get back with you guys when it is. To go down and do one more, even though we're past time or not.
Which one?
Because I already spoiled it earlier with the Switch.
Oh. We can get through it real quick if you want.
Yeah, we'll just make it super quick. I know it's the Switch and we usually ramble on about it.
Yeah, that's why I said we'll do it real quick.
Leakers have officially said that there's not going to be any Switch 2 news this month.
All right, so earlier this week, I think it was Thursday, I got a bunch of notifications on my phone. Said, I know this isn't real quick, but it said that there's going to be 2K news confirmed this month. And then the next day, it said, no 2K Switch news this month. So,
2K Switch?
2K2. I mean, news this month. None.
Oh.
It went from yes, it's going to be this month, to no, it's not going to be this month in one day. But it says an industry leaker reveals that there will be no details on Nintendo Switch 2 this month, despite industry hype for a September announcement. Instead, Nintendo is seemingly prioritizing stock to avoid launch shortages, but production won't start until the official announcement. With uncertainty about a Switch 2 release window and launch titles, fans are hopeful for the potential of an original IP and mascot to debut with the console. So I think what this leaker said that people were going to see instead was a new OLED bundle with Mario Wonder and a digital code for that. I've always said since they confirmed that the Switch 2 is a real thing that we would hear about it in a September Direct. And...
not now.
Well, leakers could be wrong.
I guess leakers could be wrong.
Leakers could be wrong. They could do both. Like, they could announce a new OLED bundle for the holiday season and then, oh, by the way, here's the Switch 2, or at least give us a stinking name for the thing.
Because what? September is the last Direct until February, usually, isn't it?
Yep. And it's supposed to release in spring of 2025. So now would be the time. Unless they just pull a Direct out of their hind ends before then, which they could do, but...
they do a situation like what they did with the museum a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But usually this kind of thing is in their main Direct, but it is Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, still, even if you got the word out in... because they done another Switch situation and released it in April, May. That's 3 months of... 2 to 3 months of news that they did in February. For people to do it. And that's right around time people will get their taxes and everything else.
Right, right. And maybe they were going to announce it this month and then they're like, well, we're... that'll put the sales down for the Switch and holiday because people aren't going to buy it, you know, for holiday if they're going to be. So maybe they'll announce it in February, but I always thought it would be September. And then it said that they won't start production until the official announcement. So I figured they would announce it in September, set up pre-orders. People would pre-order for holiday.
Yeah.
And then we'd get it in spring.
Nintendo's going on Nintendo.
Yep.
Yeah, we kept that short, so...
shorter than usual.
Yeah. Typically, we would have made that one probably drag on for about 10 minutes if it wasn't already at the end of time. We already drug it on for about 5 minutes.
We did, yep.
Alright, but thank you for watching or listening. You can follow us on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook...
Discord.
We got merch on Redbubble.
TeePublic.
TeePublic. And I think that's it.
Yep.
All right. Later, guys.
All right. Catch you guys next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.